came to church this morning with an outline or a message in my Bible, but I can't honestly say that I felt pressed to preach it this morning. I just felt all week long, I kept asking the Lord, what do you want for Sunday morning? Just never felt any clarity. And even when my mind was directed this direction, I just never felt any real pressure that this was for this morning. But you know, you have to come prepared. Because you never know. All it takes is one person to disobey the voice of the Lord, and it all can fall apart. But I want to share with you at least the text that where my mind was at for this morning. It's Exodus chapter 33 and verse number 18. Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. I beseech thee, show me thy glory. If you recall the passage, you'll know that Moses had just come through or was still in the midst of a very, very difficult time. He had come down off the mount, tables of stone in his hand, and while he was in absence from the camp, some horrible things took place, and it was a grief to him. Scripture actually says that his anger was kindled. He was very, very upset and disturbed by what was taking place. And God more so. And God was so disturbed that he was ready to wipe out the entire race, the entire nation. And Moses stood between God and the people and said, if you can't find forgiveness for them, then blot my name out. And then God said, okay, in all so many words, accept that we'll move on. But he said, I'm not going to be your present guide. I'm going to send an angel. And Moses said, no. If you can't go before us, then we don't want to go anywhere. I suppose that in this dark time that Moses was on his knees or on his face, perhaps even before God, that he was feeling the weight and he was feeling the responsibility. And in the midst of all of that, I'm sure that he also had a trembling heart of what was to come. Can you imagine God withdrawing his presence and just sending an angel? It totally changes the picture. And he said, oh, I beseech you, Show me your glory. Now here was a man that had worshipped at the burning bush. Here's a man that had experienced something that you and I perhaps will never experience, in that he talked with God with audible voice in the mount and heard the voice of God speaking the Ten Commandments. Saw the trembling of the mountain, saw the rumbling of the rocks, heard the wind blow, the lightning flash, the thunder roll, all because of the presence of God. Here's a man that had experienced a powerful moving of God. But he was to the point where the possibility of that presence being removed shook him. And he said, oh no, I need your glory. I need your glory. You see, there's a possibility of losing that glory. Israel was on the verge of losing that glory through disobedience. We'll find later in 1 Samuel chapter 4, I believe it is, that Ichabod was born. The glory of the Lord has departed. And that came about because of disobedience. You see, it's the glory that we need. Now, I'm a firm believer in externals. There are some external things that I'm not willing to part with. Just plain simple, I'm not willing to part with them. But what we need is the glory. I talked with a friend of mine this week. He's been going through a very difficult time in his ministry. Just emotionally spent. And he made the statement to me. He said, "It's brought me to the place where I wonder who I can have faith in. Who can I trust to really be faithful?" And I said to him, "I understand exactly what you're saying. But just go back in your mind, go back in your memory. For me, it's not very far. I don't have to go back long distances. And I'm sure it is for him as well. But we can lay our hand or finger upon people's lives that we've come in contact with, who were solid, who were consistent, who you know God." And in the midst of the storm around us, yes, we have an opposition. Maybe talking about that tonight in a little more depth. We have an opposition, but what we still need to have down on the inside is that desire for the glory of God. Because it's the glory that attracted me. It's the glory that'll attract others. It's that solid thing that we can hang on to, even though it's still an invisible, as it were. It's something that you and I can point to. That person knew God, or that person knows God. And I remember when God's presence was there, or God's presence was here. And we can point to those times to gain strength in the midst of the battle. We need to see and to have God's glory. Had I preached this morning, I would have asked us to close out in that chorus that Jerry Glick penned. "I'm contending for the glory." We're going to have to contend for it. I don't know what all contending really means, but if it's anything at all like Moses was contending here in Exodus 32 and 33, he was putting on a warfare. Howbeit, it may have been all emotional or spiritual. There wasn't an outward one, but it's going to be a warfare. It's going to take some battles to contend for the glory. So as we go this morning, would you stand and let's sing that chorus together. "I'm contending for the glory of the Lord in our midst. With His presence we are sure of victory. It's the glory that will draw our souls to kneel at Calvary. I'm contending for the glory of the Lord. I'm contending for the glory of the Lord in our midst. We are sure of victory. It's the glory that will draw lost souls at Calvary. I'm contending for the glory of the Lord." Father, we thank you.